We've got breaking news into Sports Card Investor. PSA is currently working on methods to detect card cleaning. Could this mean the end of card cleaning as we know it? We'll debate now. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table and Teapot. Doug, man, this is another juicy episode today. The drama around card cleaning, it is back again. And in fact, we are about to break some news on the show today about PSA's upcoming response to card cleaning. But this drama started to resurface a few days ago when on the platform formerly known as Twitter, X, Tiffany Cards on X pointed out that Kurt's Card Care had soaked some 1953 Jackie Robinson cards in a solution to remove stains. There was a video of Kurt doing this, which he posted to his own Instagram. But Tiffany Cards pointed out that PSA decertified those cards. So they had been graded by PSA after they had been soaked by Kurt. And PSA decertified those cards as well as the entire submission of cards that went along with them. So this was clearly a shot by PSA saying, we don't want this, we're not going to allow this, we're going to decertify this. Then Ryan Hogue, the president of PSA, recently visited our studio, came into Cards HQ and sat down with me. And yesterday we put the clip out, or actually the whole entire interview, an hour-long interview on the Jeff Wilson show where we spent a portion of it talking about card cleaning. And I want to show the audience here what he had to say about card cleaning.
I want to ask you about card cleaning. Card cleaning has received a lot of attention recently in the sports card hobby. And you came out with a pretty definitive statement on your Twitter account where you said, essentially, we don't support it, we don't permit it. If we find that a foreign substance has been applied to a card, if we detect that, we are going to consider that card to be altered.
Yep.
Was there any discussion around this, or is this just a very black and white issue for PSA?
No, we talked about it. I think we talked about it for sure. But at the end of the day, I mean, really what my statement was is like, we don't know what any of these things do. So if somebody's putting car wax on the surface of their card, what happens to the surface of that card in 10 years? And it's in the PSA holder, and we said it was a PSA 10, and then all of a sudden, all these scratches start appearing. And then somebody comes back to us on the grade guarantee and says, hey, this is not a 10, I want my money. We're on the hook. So we don't have good proof on what happens to these things when you alter them. There are older cards that people have done some like stain removal that I've seen some things shared out there where the stains come back. I don't know how long they stay away, but if those stains reappear, it's like, okay, PSA, you screwed up. So we have a big responsibility here to stand behind what the, you know, what our assessment is on the product. And, you know, we just don't know what it does. If we all of a sudden got comfortable that, oh yeah, this is fine, it's not going to harm the thing, maybe we would have a different opinion. But we're not there. And then the other nuance with my statement was, if we detect it, sometimes this stuff is hard to detect, but we're working on better ways to detect it. Obviously some of these things leave a smell. Some of them leave a residue. There's other ways that we're also exploring on how to detect this, using other methods that aren't just sight and smell.
All right. So those were some big statements there by Ryan. I mean, the thing that stood out to me the most, and maybe the audience as well, was PSA working on advanced detection methods to detect card cleaning in the future. Guys, it's possible that if you're using the spray or the cream or the juice or whatever it is, and you're sending those cards off to PSA, that there may become a point in time when PSA starts marking those cards as altered and sending them back to you. And I thought that he had good reasoning for why PSA was looking to do this. They don't know what the long-term holds for these cards that are going through these cleaning solutions today. What could these solutions do to these cards in 5, 10, 20 years? The ingredients of these solutions are not being disclosed. And of course, if they're putting a card in a PSA holder, if they're giving something a PSA 10, They want that to look like a 10 in 10 years and 20 years. They don't want this thing to start disintegrating at some future point in time or browning or whatever it may be. What were your reactions? I'm going to start with you, Teapot. What were your reactions to all of this? And is this the end of card cleaning, perhaps as we know it?
I have said in the past, I don't personally have any issue with cleaning. I think there's a difference between, you know, trying to restore a card, cleaning it versus altering it. And that being said, having heard what Ryan's response was and talking about PSA's reputation, thinking long-term, 5, 10, 20 years out, and a card still being in the holder, I thought that that actually made a lot of sense. Now, I know I've seen a lot of haters on social media saying that all of us or influencers or whomever, oh, wait for them all to backpedal now after having endorsed cleaning. Now that they, you know, PSA says they don't like it, they're just going to agree with PSA. I'll say this. I personally don't have a problem with it. But Ryan's rationale and the way he laid it out, I think, made a lot of sense. I think it will be really interesting to see if there was a way for PSA to do more product testing themselves. One thing we brought up in the past was, like, would they ever consider endorsing a product that's different from hot breath and water that is safe to use on your cards as a form of that restoration, because it is so prevalent in other collectibles and other industries. So that might be interesting. I'm also curious, will SGC follow suit now that they're under Collector's umbrella? Will we see a statement from Peter or somebody else and them coming out and saying, we're going to work on this too, we also condemn this? Will BGS make a statement? They're trying to reinvent or restate themselves right now with some new leadership. Is it possible we'll see some of these people using Kurt's Card Care just shift and start going to SGC or going to BGS to try to get those good grades? I don't know. There's a lot of still question marks. I'm really interested to see what PSA comes out with, but I do think Ryan's statement seemed very balanced. And from a brand reputation perspective for the biggest grading company, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, those are all very, very fair points. Doug, what's your take on all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what he says does make sense. You know, I was probably a little bit more strict on card cleaning than you were the last time we talked about this. But there are things that I think should be permissible. And I think most of them are probably still permissible under, you know, these guidelines that Ryan mentioned. I think it's smart for them to consider the long-term implications and cover their butts on that, because they do have a grade guarantee. And if a decade from now your card turns green from car wax or something crazy, right? You know, they're going to be on the hook for that, as he said in that video clip. So I think that's important for them to consider. And, you know, whether or not they have a moral or ethical objection to it, they have to just protect business at this point. So I think it's a smart and understandable move. You know, personal feelings aside, I get where they're coming from there. One thing I'd worry about, I guess, is turnaround times in the future. If we have a whole extra process that they're going through to detect, you know, substances or scents or whatever, you know, what's that doing to add to our turnaround times? I think anybody is going to be upset with anything that affects turnaround times, even if it's for the betterment, you know, of that grade or that quality. But, you know, I'm not big into card cleaning. I know people that are. You know, I kind of stay away from trying to choose a side there, but I do understand this process.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely an interesting discussion. I definitely do get where Ryan's coming from. They don't want to give a card a PSA 10 and then have that card look horrible 20 years later in the slab because of some product that was used on it. I get that. And he also did make a point, I think it was at the end of that clip, that does make sense to me, which is if the card has scratches on the surface, yeah, and you're using, you know, one of these wax type substances to go over the top of it and the scratches are being filled in, well, something is going in there to make that happen. Like, that's beyond cleaning. That's we're actually filling scratches in a surface of a card with something, some type of chemical, which also means that whatever's going in there to kind of fill that surface and regloss that is also probably detectable and will probably remain detectable for however long that is still there filling that scratch on the card. So definitely some warning signs there about the future and what this could all look like. I still go back, I still maintain that I do think card cleaning to a degree should be permitted, but I completely agree with Ryan that us having no idea what chemicals are in these solutions right now and this being the wild, wild west is not a good thing. I would love to hear PSA in the future say, it's okay if you're just using, for example, like some sort of alcohol-based solution or something of that nature, but it has to be this specific within these specific, you know, things, and anything beyond that we're going to test for. And if we find it,
It's not permitted. This is almost becoming like,
it's like doping.
Performance enhancing drug testing.
It's like doping in Atlanta.
It's like, it's okay for you to use like certain supplements, but once you go beyond that and start getting into
the real
stuff.
We just found a cleaning substance in the jungles of Brazil.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're
exactly.
Now going to use this.
Which you know, unfortunately means this may end up as this big cat and mouse game for years and years to come.
Yeah, surely.
But I am at least happy. I got to give it up, and I know we're out of time, but I want to give it up real quick to Ryan for coming in the studio and answering the tough questions and being transparent about it and not ignoring the issue, but actually taking the issue head on and saying, here's my viewpoint, this is why we believe it, and this is what we're gonna do about it. Give him credit for that. And by the way, that entire episode, The Jeff Wilson Show, it came out last night. It's a different YouTube channel. You gotta Google The Jeff Wilson Show. We'll drop a link in the show description below. There was all kinds of information that Ryan dropped well beyond card cleaning. He talked about new slab designs. We talked about upcharges. We talked about changes to grading standards, turnaround times, all kinds of stuff. It's a really good episode. It's worth your time. Go watch it. It is on The Jeff Wilson Show right now. Also worth your time is this week's PWCC weekly auction. They've got great cards in it once again. T-Paul, what do you have your eye on this week?
I got a pair of cards. Okay. And if you look at the listing, you like Doug probably knew it was coming.
We
got
I predicted
1997-98 Star Rubies. Yeah. The what now is called the Peacock design. It is definitely my favorite Star Ruby design. Two of the greatest big men of all time. There is a Tim Duncan rookie and Hakeem Olajuwon. Both great cards. Got to check them out.
There you go. How about you, Doug?
2001 SP Authentic Tiger Woods rookie auto. It's a PSA 9 with an auto 10. I think Tiger has one of the best looking autos. I really, really like Tiger auto cards, and this one really pops.
It's a beautiful card. Yeah, we're about to discuss in the Data Dive segment basketball players whose cards may benefit from the playoffs. How about Donovan Mitchell? And they've got a nice 2017 National Treasures Donovan Mitchell rookie patch auto, the number 299 in PSA 10. Up on their weekly auction right now. That's one that I have my eye on. You should check it out as well. The link to PWCC's weekly auction is below. And you can vault your cards with PWCC. Use promo code SCI, and you're gonna get free vaulting for life, free insurance for life on any card you vault over $50 with that promo code. Graded cards only, by the way, on those. All right, Teapot, let's turn to your Data Dive. This last week on the Market Movers YouTube channel, you did an episode where you talked about NBA players whose cards may change, maybe in some cases benefit, go up with the NBA playoffs upon us. Take us through the episode and a couple of the things you thought could happen, and then Doug's going to tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah, this was, a longer video, and I tried to just lay out the data for all the teams. And I look at Vegas odds. I always like to look at Vegas odds to see, you know, who is poised to make a deep run into the playoffs. I'll admit I was a little surprised by some of the Vegas odds, especially in the Western Conference. You had, like, the Clippers and the Mavs, basically right after the Nuggets, and both of them are playing each other right now. So that was interesting to look at. Laid out price movements of all the different key players from those teams, anybody notable. Then I zoomed in on the stars from each of those teams, kind of looked at where their price trends have been over the last 60, 90 days. And I finished the episode highlighting a handful of six different players who might be kind of flying under the radar. One of those players being Dante DiVincenzo, who has really come on late in the year and just
Big
added
three.
Another 2018 draft star in the making, honestly, in my opinion. He's averaged like over 20 points a game over the last 3 months, and he hit the three at the end of the game on the steal to seal the deal for the Knicks in game two.
So. Yeah, exciting times for sure. All right, Doug, who do you have your eyes on? NBA playoffs now underway. Already been exciting so far. Been some blowouts, but been some fun games as well. Who do you have your eye on here? How do you think the playoffs could affect card prices?
I will scream forever that he is supremely undervalued until I have no breath left, and that's Jamal Murray. Did he make your list?
He did. He was one of my six under the radar guys.
Yeah, and he just hit a buzzer beater game winner last night, and his prices probably won't move very much. And I guess that's okay. I can just go buy Jamal Murray because I like him and collect him, and I can buy him cheap. But I think it's nonsensical that his prices aren't a little bit better, just a little bit better.
It is funny. You know, I bought a Jamal Murray card a year or two ago.
And a nice one, if I remember. It's the Gold Select.
Yeah. And I ended up trading. I lost money on it. It came down a little bit. I'm like, why is this down? Like, it's having another outstanding season. Yeah. They're favorites to win.
the championship again.
Exactly.
Like, it's
you
weird,
get it.
But it's not. It's a lot of his Jamal Murray's cards are down. You know, yeah. It's a little bit surprising.
Looking at sales prices, I also think Tatum has a lot of room to go up. If you compare Tatum's prices at the end of their playoff run last year to where they are now, there's a big gap there. So if they go on another deep playoff run and he does what people expect him to do, I think Tatum has will really start to climb in this next month. So there's a short window, but a big opportunity for Tatum, I think. And going the opposite direction, I think Shea could go down. Mm. I've got a lot of Shea cards because I collect Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but he's not going to win the MVP race. And the Thunder probably aren't going to go as far as people thought they were a few months ago. They're not looking poised to make a deep run. So if they have an early exit and he doesn't win MVP, I think Shea's going to take a dip. Mm. So I think that might be one, you know, a cautionary tale. Watch out for that one.
Yeah. No, these are all good suggestions. A winning strategy, perhaps, in all of this is to consider buying sealed wax. Because if you buy a product like 2018 Prism, a sealed box of 2018 Prism, if Shea makes it to the finals, you benefit.
There you go. Yeah.
If Luka breaks through and makes it to the finals, you benefit. We won't talk about Trae
Young. If Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo make a deep run.
Correct. If Brunson makes it to the finals, you benefit. Exactly, right? So, I mean, that sealed wax is one potential way to approach this. 2012 is interesting products to look at right now. You know, Dame looks like maybe he's showing up again. We'll see. I don't know what kind of run the Bucks will actually be able to make this postseason. But you've obviously got Kawhi Leonard in there for the Clippers. You've got Anthony Davis in there. I don't know the Lakers, you know, at this point. But you know what? You've got a number of guys in that product who have roles in the playoffs. Maybe Jimmy Butler will come out of the injury room and lead the Heat back, and then 2012 wax will benefit as a result. So sealed wax would be my pick as to where to look. All right, guys, I've got a special announcement for you today. I recently got to do something really cool. I got to go to BCW Supply's manufacturing facility in Indiana and get a behind-the-scenes tour. It was awesome, and I'm going to bring you the full video this Sunday on the Sports Card Investor YouTube channel. You're gonna wanna see that video. But right now, I wanted to show you one particular product that's noteworthy, that's worth featuring. Hey guys, I'm here with Tim from BCW Supplies and BCW's world headquarters in Indiana, and I've got a very special announcement for you. This Sunday night on the Sports Card Investor channel, we're doing a behind the scenes tour showing you how binder pages are made, and top loaders are shipped by the hundreds of thousands. It's going to be epic. But today, I want to show you a brand new product that BCW just came out with. Tim, what is this?
So this is the brand new card catalog, all about organizing your collection.
It can accommodate raw, it can accommodate top loaders, it can accommodate the magnetic card holders. And these, Tim, it looks like they'll stack, they'll interlock. These are all locked together. So you can create different sizes and configurations of these.
And they'll lock in, but for extra protection, all you gotta do is click that in.
So I can add extra ones on down, on up, and build an entire library of all of my cards. Yep. Guys, this system is called the Card Catalog, and it is available exclusively at bcwsupplies.com. Use promo code SCI for 10% off your order of this or all of the other thousands of products at bcwsupplies.com. And just a reminder, you can buy that product or thousands of other products at bcwsupplies.com. Use promo code SCI for 10% off your whole entire order at bcwsupplies.com. All right, gentlemen, the NFL draft is tonight, which means that there's going to be a lot of discussion around football cards over the next few days because some teams are going to hopefully upgrade in this draft. People are going to get excited about the cards of players on those teams. Maybe some people will be chasing the Bowman U cards of some of the guys who get drafted highly in the draft. Others will be chasing the cards of veterans on the teams that get guys drafted who they think can really help. Whatever the case, it's going to be a fun next few days for the football card market. We'll probably see some football cards in next week's top five. So my question to you guys today is, what football cards should people be paying attention to right now, this very moment, that maybe could even be more valuable in a couple of days based on what you think is going to happen with tonight's draft? Doug, on this one, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I think you said it already. I think Bowman U is the one thing that you might see move really quickly. It's the only, you know, real cards you can get for these guys that are about to be drafted. So if you want to try to taking advantage of that small window where we have these collegiate cards for these quarterbacks getting drafted before they have professional cards, this is that opportunity. When you look at the football market as a whole, and if you're trying to judge how this was going to affect other players or other teams, that I don't know that there's going to be much of an effect. I think it's really just going to be the guys that are getting drafted and their collegiate cards right now. And I'll tell you why. I think a sneaky reason is the football market never really took a dip. There's normally, for the let's say go back 3 or 4 years ago, right? The football market would take a dip during the playoffs and then right after the Super Bowl. And it wouldn't heat up again until around the National. Around July is when the football market started to pick back up. There was never really a big dip this year. The football market has remained really steady throughout the year. So I don't think something like the NFL draft is going to cause any big spikes or any big buzz in, you know, the pool of players we have available, other than, again, the quarterbacks getting drafted and their college cards. I think a lot of that probably has to do with repackers keeping the market strong throughout the offseason, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, good points. The football card market has been hot. We've seen it here in Cards HQ. Our football aisle, which is that one, has less cards in it than our baseball aisle or our basketball aisle because people come in here every day and pick a bunch of cards off. Teapot, who do you have your eye on in the draft right now?
I'm going to agree about Bowman Yu, but I'm going to disagree that active players can't be impacted. And for me, it's all about the QB wide receiver dynamic.
Yes.
We saw what Marquise Brown going to the Chiefs just did for his prices. And Mahomes has a new weapon, especially with the other situation with the other wide receiver. I'm looking at trade candidates. I'm looking at Justin Jefferson. I'm looking at T. Higgins. I'm looking at Brandon Ayuk, possibly even Davante Adams, for their prices, as well as any quarterback who may be receiving them with arms wide open onto their team if there is a trade night, a draft night trade like tonight for one of those players. And there's a lot of rumors around that. The other thing is, are there any QBs who could get, existing QBs who could get a bump if they get a player, say, like Marvin Harrison Jr.? If he goes to number 4, will Kyler Murray and definitely not Desmond Ridder be benefiting in their card prices? If he slips to 5, would Jim Harbaugh actually consider drafting an Ohio State Buckeye to help Justin Herbert and give him a new weapon? There could be a lot of those scenarios. Those are all big what ifs, and none of those, you know, it's possible none of those guys move, and then it would just be probably the new guys. But
I actually really like the Marvin Harrison Jr. play. There's 3 wide receivers that are supposed to be drafted in the top 10. Whoever, and Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. You got 4 skill position offensive players, you know, receivers or tight ends that could go in the top 10 to 12 picks. Whoever gets those players, maybe their quarterbacks see a little bit of a bump. I love the idea with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's just an absolute stud wideout pairing with Kyler Murray, which this means one of 2 things for the Cardinals. Either Will Greer is now only going to be a 2 times better investment than Kyler Murray, no longer 4 times, only a 2 times better investment than Kyler Murray when Kyler Murray gets Marvin Harrison Jr., or it means that my Desmond Ridder cards are now just going up in value. They're currently worth about, you know, I don't
$5.
Know, about $5. Maybe they'll be worth $7. Because he's the backup of, you know, of the Cardinals, and may get some playing time this year because we all know that Kyler Murray likes to get himself injured. So either way, it's going to be a good night for me tonight, I believe. Let's jump into our second mailbag topic tonight, guys. Huge auction result at PWCC just a few days ago. I guess it was about a week ago now, but it's still rattling through my mind. The $516,000 sale of Webinyama's Black Shimmer, first off the line, 1 of 1 in a PSA 9. Listen to this. This is by far, obviously, a record for any Victor Webinyama card. Previous record was $67,333 for his 2022 Bowman University Best of the Best 2022 Super Fractor, the first auto inscription. So this card sold for what, 7, 8, 9 times what that one sold for?
Yeah.
And on top of that, this, I think, is really interesting. No sports card from any sport from 2021 through 2024 has sold for more money than this. This sets the all-time record for any card from the past, you know, 3 years of card production. So big-time result here for Victor Webinyama and for the sports card market. Teapot, what do you make of this, and what does it mean?
It's something about extraterrestrials and all the UFO sightings. First, we saw Jason Dominguez, the Martian, sell for $474,000 a few years ago on his Bowman Chrome Super Fractor Auto. Now it's the alien himself, Wemby, on the Black Shimmer.
Black Shimmer.
Going nuclear.
Not even the true black.
Not the true black.
And also a PSA 9, not a PSA 10.
This price absolutely blew me away. First of all, extended bidding started at like $150,000. I don't know what time this thing ended in the morning, But I was watching it on PWCC, and I was watching Adam Gray and Jeremy Lee on Sports Card Live. They do monthly premier auction breakdown of PWCC, talking about this card before it hit extended bidding. They pulled the live stream, and I believe Jeremy had run it, or Adam had run it on his Instagram. Which do people prefer, the Black Shimmer 1 of 1 or the True Gold to 10? Because the Black Shimmer is by far and away the third 1 of 1 preferred by people to the True Black, the Nebula, and the Shimmer. I did not see a universe where this card went over $210,000. Like, I thought $150,000, probably $160,000. $510,000 absolutely blew me away. There's other big cards out there. This whole exclusive auto thing with Topps and Fanatics has certainly thrown a wrench into all of this stuff with Wemby's cards. That's a big boy. That's a big boy card.
You have the same reaction, Doug, or what do you think of this?
That's exactly what I expected. Yeah. I was predicting around a $500,000 sale for this. And my thought process was along the lines of, he's not going to have like a logo man RPA or any significant RPA, because he's not going to have autos with Panini. So this flagship Prism product is going to be the most important card for him. And if you are projecting and you're willing to take that risk, what do other, you know, GOAT 1 of 1s sell for? Like, what would a LeBron 1 of 1, a Michael Jordan 1 of 1 go for right now? And it's going to be over $1 million, maybe over $2 million, maybe over $3 million for some of these cards. If he continues on his current trajectory, and right now he's doing things on the court that sometimes no one has ever done, and sometimes maybe only a handful of the best players of all time have ever done, if he can continue this, if he can stay healthy, if he can win championships, if he can win trophies, it's an if. There's a risk spending any amount of money on any card. There's also a very big risk spending $500,000 on a Wimby. But if we get to that point, I mean, that card is going to be worth over $1 million, over $2 million, and it was a good investment when you look back on it. So, you know, if you've got that kind of risk tolerance,
I love it. It's exciting. I love it. I think whoever bought it, congratulations.
I want to know who bought it.
High risk, high reward. I don't know. But congratulations. We can put my Desmond Ritter black next to their Wemby black, and they can just, you know, like, be like brothers.
Are we going to see Shine?
Just
hanging
out.
Is this going to be on Shine's Instagram?
I don't know who bought it.
Yeah, probably.
But what'd be really interesting is if whoever bought it is trying to go after the other two as well to build the trifecta.
The True Blacks.
And maybe that's why they paid so much for it, because they want to eventually
I'd root for that.
Maybe they already had the True Black, so they overpaid for the Shimmer.
It's possible. All these things are possible. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure to check out PWCC. Obviously, big things happening at PWCC and their weekly auctions. And bcwsupplies.com, promo code SCI for 10% off everything you buy at bcwsupplies.com. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Take care.